Produced by women about women, Powerful Women Let's Talk is a series of interviews with women who are trailblazers and have helped shape our world, transforming who we are and how we live. Powerful Women Let's Talk is made possible in part by Family Fair, keeping it real.
She's board certified in obstetrics and gynecology, chief medical officer and co-founder of True Women's Health. Plus, she's written a book and has driven a race car. So let's meet Dr. Diana Bittner. Welcome to Powerful Women Let's Talk.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And I understand all went well with that race car experience?
It did. It was fantastic. It was a Formula One, 136 miles an hour, 6 inches off the ground, straight stick, 5-point restraint. Amazing. I took my daughter Pixie for her 18th birthday, and it was just a blast.
Wow. But Mom wanted to make sure she was behind.
Oh, I was down there too. Yeah, we each had our own car and a pace car and the whole thing. It was awesome.
So you're halfway full of energy and full of certainly adventure, and yet you deliver babies and work with women, and I guess that's kind of the elephant in the room. When did you know you wanted to, deliver babies?
Well, that's what's interesting. It wasn't about the babies. It was about the women. And so, you know, once I was in med school at Wayne State, I saw deliveries happening, and I'll never forget my first C-section. I was like, oh, I didn't know how that happened. But I was like, I want to be like that doctor who helps women get through this most vulnerable, scary moment, and everybody's healthy, everybody's good, and it happened like they want it to happen. I wanted to be that doctor that helped women get through that moment. I mean, babies are cute and all, but that was the goal of that event, you know, to be there with a couple, no matter their situation, and help it happen. That's what I wanted to do.
And was it a dream at childhood? Did you pursue this, I want to be a doctor?
Yeah, like I found this book series in my church library when I was like 10, the Cherry Ames series about this World War II nurse. And she was this nurse who would walk into a room and just make people feel comfortable. And then I thought, well, wait, I could be the doctor. But to walk into a room, make people feel comfortable, help them be safe, get them through a situation. Yeah, I started to want to be a doctor at a really young age.
And yet you paid your dues to get to where you are now.
Definitely paid my dues.
Let's talk all things True Women's Health. First of all, did you set a goal to be a chief medical officer at a True Women's Health?
Was never the goal. Yeah. So this has been a long journey of making it happen. You know, in terms of, you know, I had a career pivot, you know, when I was about 15 years into practice. And, you know, my job was exactly how I hoped it would be. I got to help women every day, either delivering babies or dealing with issues and then resulting in a surgery and doing a really good job through a scary surgery in the office, helping young women with family planning and sexuality and all that good stuff. But there was this aha moment. I had a patient who was an RN and had menopause symptoms, and she was taking some hormones, and she said, the hormones aren't working, I want more. And I said, I don't know much about this hormone thing, but I think you're on as much as you're supposed to be on. Well, I'm still having symptoms. Well, I don't know much about that. So, you know, and so she went to another doctor. She got more hormones. She ended up having a blood clot in her lung and almost dying. So I learned a lot of things from that encounter. Number one, menopause is way more complicated than a prescription. It's about lifestyle and diet and sugar and water. Menopause is a really important time in life when it really can add to all the other life stressors. So it turns out she was working too much. She wasn't eating well. And then, you know, hormones are powerful. So I learned, I really wanted to learn about hormones. And that journey is what brought me to True Women's Health.
And let's stay in that niche in menopause. You had time to write a book?
Well, I made time to write a book, right? You know, I, again, never started out to write a book. But again, as I started to, I went to my first women's health meeting and I was like, oh my God, it was on Hilton Head. I'll never forget. And I was just blown away by women who were learning and studying about menopause and women's health. And I thought, there's so much information out there. I need to bring this to West Michigan. And, you know, my MO is that I see something and I figure out I want to do that and then how to do it. And so in my process to figure out how to bring all that information to women here in West Michigan, I had to come up with a process. And so that process of care we call waypoints. And basically it's a way to organize a woman's health in 9 areas of wellness. And so, again, I was just a doctor. I didn't know how to do research or write, or, you know, so I became a research mentee of the Menopause Society. and learned about research. And so in writing this process of care, I then did a pilot study of 100 women. Like, how does this work? Does this really help women? Because me talking to women about menopause one-on-one was really, my next appointment was 8 months out. People couldn't get in. Like, they were finally there's someone who gets this. And so I'm learning and helping. So bottom line, doing this pilot study, it was then like, wow, this works. And then we researched and looked at the data. You know, when women really are empowered to know about their health, these women lost weight. They dropped their waist circumference, which is a risk factor for heart disease. They lowered their blood pressure. They were empowered. They knew about their bodies. And so we published the data in the journal Menopause, and my patients kept saying, would you write this stuff down? So I wrote the first book, the first edition, which is called I Want to Age Like That, because we all have a that. It's not about me telling a patient how they should be. It's me asking them, how do you want to be? And then I can be your partner to support that. So the book was written in all little bits. Now, I don't know how to write a book. So I got an editor and a publisher, did lots of serendipitous moments, finding the right people, learning how to do this, and had lots of help along the way. And the first book came out, then the second, now the third. And it now has an accompanying workbook that can help people walk through the process. Hmm.
How important is goal setting, chasing a passion in any field, Dr. Bittner?
I think having a passion is everything. I mean, I think about sort of how my life has unfolded. You know, lots of learning and opportunities and lots of goal setting. I was adopted twice. First time at birth, big shout out to Bethany. Second time at 15. And I really learned to be a survivor and to have goals. And you know, for example, I saw this woman at church who had just come back from an exchange program. And I thought, I want to be an exchange student. So I didn't know anybody. I didn't have any money. But I'm like, I'm going to be an exchange student. So figured it out. And I became a Rotarian exchange student back in the day. Then, you know, college, med school, you know, I wanted to be a doctor. I didn't have any money. So I borrowed, I worked, I got scholarships, I figured it out. So that goal of being a doctor, even though it was 8 years away, but it wasn't just like I'm working in a vacuum. I loved what I was doing. I loved to learn. I loved to study. And I really, you know, got lots of good habits along the way. And, you know, and then OBGYN residency. Like, I wanted to be an OB doc. So, you know, OB residency is 4 years. I worked 100 hours plus a week, 3 kids, married, now divorced, you know. So it's just a lot of process along the way. And it's, to me, it's not only just the goal, but it's that passion to keep us moving through all of this.
Back to your health
so
hat.
Important.
Yes, yes. How important is health, especially prevention, in these days?
You know, it's so, so important. And I think prevention has really kind of gotten a bad rap because, like, how do we do that, right? So to me, it's about, number one, that goal. So especially in these days with the global pandemic and all, it's about resilience. And, you know, we know that resilience is possible. So resilience, let's say, to fight an infection such as COVID. It's to be resilient to cope with all the changes and with all the other things going on in the world. How can we keep our power? How can we have our core of, you know, so to me, prevention is about maintaining that resilience to reduce the risk of chronic illness. What makes me crazy is that 90% of healthcare dollars are spent on preventable illness, right? And so, you know, I hate it that, for example, so many women are having, let's say, these chronic illnesses develop and they don't even know, they're silent. You know, I'll never forget, I had a patient in the hospital who came in for, she fell and broke her hip. And while she was having her hip fixed, she had a heart attack on the table. And then I got called to see her as the gynecologist because she was having bleeding, because she was on blood thinners, she had bleeding. I diagnosed her with uterine cancer. So here in the course of 2 days, she was diagnosed with 3 preventable conditions. Why did they develop? She was busy. She was taking care of her family. She had 10 kids and a gazillion grandkids, and she cooked and she ate and she suffered through menopause. Menopause is the biggest risk factor for all those 3 conditions. She didn't have anybody kind of help her through that, and she just kind of went through taking care of everybody else and never taking care of herself. So again, in terms of like prevention, to me, it means if women know what's going on, like, I don't know about you, but I'm a bossy Dutch girl. Don't tell me what to do. But if you give me the information, give me the tools, I got this. And that's what I want to do for women.
Hmm. let's do the bossy. A lot of times, young women, if they are assertive, they're called bossy. Mm-hmm. How do we make that distinction that I have this trait about me that mm-hmm. you're not going to change?
Exactly. And like you, I'm as bossy as they come. But again, it's that emotional intelligence.
But is it bossy?
Again, semantics, right?
Or is it self-confidence?
Bossy, assertive, self-confidence. Yeah, I love that. What is that? The sign that says bossy with a line through it. Like, I agree with you, but it's assertive, it's smart, but it's having that emotional intelligence of knowing when to pick your battles. Like, being a woman in medicine, there definitely were some challenges, but I kind of tried not to give it energy, you know, and definitely I've got my battle wounds of sexism and, you know, all of that that have gone through it, but I just kind of kept moving. Like, again, it's having that goal and that passion, like, I got this. And then in terms of being assertive, again, the emotional intelligence of when to have a certain energy with someone, where's the opening, what to do, but yet to have that calm sense of myself and make it happen.
Let's talk about yourself. I understand you have been bitten by the Peloton bug.
I have. You know, I tell my patients I've drank the Peloton Kool-Aid, but I love surrounding myself by people who are excellent and they know their thing. You know, I learn all the time and I've learned so much from the Peloton instructors. So, you know, the bike is not in my budget. I don't have the official bike, but I use the app. Last night I did a 45-minute yoga. The night before, a 45-minute total body with Adrian. You know, these trainers are like top of their game. They're incredible. And, you know, I've learned lots of stuff, you know, about motivation and how motivation is just like the frosting on the cake. You know, like, so these instructors have lots of great wisdoms about, you know, exercise is just something we do to maintain our body, but then to have fun doing it. I mean, so, I really look forward to my time on my bike and doing all my Peloton stuff. So, yes, I love Peloton.
Practicing what you preach. A CMU grad, what did it take to be the valedictorian of your class?
Well, it's so funny. Like, my goal was not to be the valedictorian. My goal was to have really good grades and to succeed and get into medical school. And so, you know, I had very strict habits. Monday through Thursday, I went to class all day. I'd go for a run. I would eat my dinner and I'd head to the library, take a 10-minute nap at 8 o'clock, walk home at 11. So I just really maintained a schedule. And so the whole valedictorian thing just was a result of that. And I'll never forget what my second dad said. He said, I don't want you just to memorize stuff. I want you to own it. You own the concept. So therefore, it is yours forever. And so I studied to learn, not studied for a test. And of course, the accounting kids hated it when I set the curve, even in the accounting class. But I just really I wanted to know it. And so the result was a 3.997 at Central. I got a B+ in a 1-credit aerobics class because the guy said I didn't move my hips right. Like, are you serious? But it's still, it got me into med school. So in the end, that's all I cared about.
You're not perfect. Hey, you love to cook. So what's for dinner tonight? Yes.
So I've got a butternut squash black bean chili that is was in the crock pot and ready to go. So I eat a very plant-based diet. So all about those healthy proteins in it. At True, we preach the seeds, the 7 essential elements of daily success. And one of those seeds is food. And we talk about 5 healthy carbs a day, 5 healthy proteins, 3 healthy fats, and 1 treat. And so it's like, how can we have those? And so that butternut squash chili, but I love to cook and I cook a lot just from scratch and making stuff up. One of the things, we have a nutrition coach at True named Anna. And so we're writing a cookbook called I Want to Eat Like That. And so just like, I want to age like that. I want to eat like that. Another book coming out will be, you know, I Want to Have Sex Like That.
Yeah, let's stop there. I knew we were going to go there.
Sexual health is so important. Can we talk about sex, right? Yes. So sexual health is so important. You know, it's really interesting. Back in the day when I was a busy OB, like, I never wanted to talk about sex with my patients because I didn't know how to answer it. So it was learning a lot of good information with then, how can we talk about this in a way? Sexual health is so important to women, not only sexual identity, but just being able to talk about it helps people feel young, like themselves. And again, just having that partnership with a healthcare provider that they can talk about, it's super powerful. So we have the Sex Deck. It's a card game that I invented. It's on our website that helps people talk about it.
All right. How does a woman find her power, Dr. Bittner?
I think it's to go just really allow ourselves some quiet time and just to go inside and just be and find that power and then learn about our bodies. Trust our voice. Trust, you know, one of the books at my bedside table is Untamed by Glennon Doyle. I love how she talks about, you know, what is that in us? What is that voice? What is that knowing? And then how we incorporate that in our faith-based practice or, you know, whatever. But it's just allowing ourselves that stillness and then making it happen, taking advantage of the network, asking for help when you need it. But finding that power, I think, really does start from listening and going in, going inside.
And you can speak to me in Portuguese?
Sí, senhora. Eu podia falar... Podia falar dia inteiro até você ficar chateado comigo, mas não vou. Muito obrigada.
Anybody ever name their newborn Diana these days?
You'll laugh at this. Maybe a couple times in practice, but when I lived in Brazil as an exchange student, a couple had a baby while I was there as a 15-year-old, and they named their baby Diana, but they spelled it with a D-Y to make sure they would say it Diana. In Brazil, they'd call me Gianna, so they wanted to say it Diana. So, yes, there is a Diana out there in Brazil somewhere.
Thank you for your time, Dr. Diana Bittner, Chief Medical Officer and co-founder of True Women's Health.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening to this edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. I'm Shelley Irwin.
Produced by women, about women, these powerful podcasts focus on powerful women and how their strength transforms who we are and how we live. Want to hear more Powerful Women Let's Talk? Get additional interviews at WGVU.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. Powerful Women Let's Talk is made possible in part by Family Fair, keeping it real. It is produced by WGVU at the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of WGVU, its underwriters, or Grand Valley State University.